A little bit about our missions trip coming up. If you got to throw that up there for the mission slides. All righty. So before we do, just want to give you some more good news. Obviously, we thank you for your support for us. But just since we were here last time, we've had four more athletes accept Christ. And we had a fellow, yeah, praise the Lord. And we had a young man that was on the lacrosse team that got saved last July. He just got baptized a couple weeks ago. So we're really excited. Our graduation for the college was Saturday, Friday for some. And so now we're kind of really focusing on our trip that's coming up. But just wanted to share that with you. Also, we did put our display up. If you are not getting our newsletter, it's free. We do not give your name or email address to Doge. So you don't have to worry about getting audited or anything. You know, if you got something you're worried about them finding out, we don't even give it to Chi-Coms or TikTok. But if you'd like to get our newsletter, you can just sign up on the back table there. Our prayer cards are there. If you don't have one of those, we ask you to grab that and pray for us. All right, so we are heading back to the Bahamas. This is our third trip there. We went there with three athletes and a coach back in 2021. We had met Bob and Donna Maston. That's the couple that we'll be working with. They work with a ministry called Bahamas Youth Network, which is part of the bigger network, Caribbean Youth Network. So we are going to be going back for the third time to work with them. Just a great couple. They are go-getters. We thought we did a lot. They run several different ministries there on the island. And we're excited to go back with them. So that's their picture there. So a lot of confusion about the name when you say Bahamas. Because when you say Bahamas, there's actually 700 islands. But only 30 of them are inhabitable. So when we say Bahamas, the two big ones are Freeport. And what people refer to as Nassau but is actually New Providence Island. So it's a very small piece of land. It's 7 miles wide and 7 miles width and then 21 miles long. It's only about 80 square miles altogether. So the island, the city is Nassau, which is the capital of the Bahamas. The island is New Providence, and of course the country is the Bahamas. It's about 184 miles off the coast of Miami. So a lot of times, because the rookies that we have going on the team, they're all nervous about what happens if something goes wrong. All you got to do is swim 184 miles, and you can get back to America. You can always tag on with a shark or get ahead of a shark. That'll make you swim faster. So it's a small, small island, but it is the capital of the Bahamas. So the picture on the left is from our team in 2021. And then the picture on the right is last year's group shot, where the other people that are with us is the College of Career group from Bahamas Youth Network. As we said, the Mastons work with both the teens and the college age on the island. And we had 11 go last year. This year we have 13 going down with us, five of them. This is their first time on an international missions trip. And then six of them are returning from our group last year. This is what people think of when you say Bahamas. And our folks from last year, these folks here, probably tell you that when they say to people, we're going to Bahamas, and they go on vacation, and no, it's a missions trip. So all the travel brochures will show you places like this. Now, just to let you know, that place, it's about 22,000 square foot. It is right on the ocean, and it is for sale. So if you're looking to pick up a little cottage in the summer to get away, or maybe during the winter, anybody want to guess what it's up for sale for? 15? Okay. $30? I got $35. $52 million. You can pick that little puppy up and have yourself a dream home on the ocean. But if that is out of your budget, let me also offer another piece of property on the island that is for sale. And that one is an 800 square foot little beauty. You can see how well manicured the lawn is. You see they do fascias a little different there. They don't put any siding or anything on it. So what do you think that little guy goes for? 800 square foot, probably pretty bare inside. That you can steal for $125,000. So if you're looking to pick up something that you can get away on vacation every year, $125,000. Now, the picture on the left is what everybody thinks about the Bahamas. The picture on the right is how a vast majority of the people live, but there are some that are even worse off. And the two pictures on the left are, that is from an area that we're going to be ministering in Saturday. And that is the picture that nobody shows you about the Bahamas, how destitute that the island is in many, many places. The woman in the midst of our group on the right, her name is Dora. I don't know if she's an explorer, but she runs a food ministry there by faith. She's, this year she'll be 61. She does it, gets a little bit of help from other people. She has no set income, and she just does it by faith. She feeds about 200 people every Saturday, and she's in an area called Baintown, which is the oldest settlement on the island. And if you look at some of the structures, you can say it's not only the oldest, but it's been forgotten. So she has planted herself in the midst of the poorest section of the island, and the missionaries, Bob and Donald, tell us that she's having a very positive impact on them, sharing the gospel with them, providing food, and not only food on Saturday, but also they can stop by her house anytime and she'll give them to-go things. So that's one of the things that we'll be doing. We're going to be going to the Adventure Learning Center, which is a Christian camp that brings kids there to show God in creation. We're going to do physical work with them. Obviously, Dora, we're going to be working with her. We're going to spend one night with their college and career group. We're going to spend another night with their teen group, just ministering with and to them. We're also going to be doing a basketball camp and a soccer camp. Soccer camp we did last year. Basketball is something new that we're adding this year. We're also going to be going to a juvenile detention center for young boys and girls. Last year, we believe about 12 of the young men accepted Christ when we were there. So we're going to be going to the men's one day and the girls the next day. So it'll be a busy week. And then these are some of our needs. Now, praise the Lord, God has met some of them already. Everybody on the trip has to raise $1,800 to go. That's their airfare, lodging, food, and transportation on the island. And so that's their personal responsibility. So today we're trying to help with not only the needs of the trip overall, but help these guys meet that obligation. Fortunately, our basketball's been taken care of, soccer, the bags. We need socks, soccer socks. We still would like to buy some Bibles to take down with us and a gospel tract that we use called Ultimate Questions. So that's what your offering will be going to, not only to help them go, but to purchase these needs. So we're going to get you a chance to hear from them. So we're just going to go clockwise. So we're going to start with Daniel Miller. So Daniel, come on up. And then you can just hand that to the next one. All right.
Just making sure it's on. This is my first time actually speaking in front of people, so let's see how I do here. So hey guys, my name is Daniel Miller. I'm here with obviously Brockport, and so I graduated with an exercise science degree last year. So this is going to be my first mission trip coming up, and I go to two churches back nearby home. So I live in Spencerport. I go to First Bible Baptist Church and in Hilton, and also Calvary Chapel. West Side. So just a little bit about me. I got saved when I was younger. When I was about 7 years old, I was raised in a Christian home, thank God, with amazing parents that were able to guide me in an amazing direction of where I wanted to go in life. And Gary asked me before what I was expecting to do on this mission trip. And I was like, shoot, I don't really know. And I was like, well, one thing I am expecting is for the Holy Spirit to lead through my first mission trip. So It's pretty cool because back in January, me and my brother Jerry over here, we were able to go to the Bahamas just on vacation, but now we're actually going again to actually spread the gospel. So it's a really cool opportunity. Just one scripture I'm just going to share here. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is part of the Great Commission after Jesus resurrected. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I think this is like really powerful, and it also just connects missions and my testimony at the same time. And he gives us direction to go and to preach the gospel and not be scared and not to be ashamed about it. And also to make disciples, which is what we're here doing today. Thirdly, to baptize, to initiate them into the faith, and then to teach them the word when we go down to the Bahamas. Not only just to teach them at the Bahamas, but also teach everybody like around here, even here in Alba and at home. And also this passage also shows that Christ, that he reassures us that he's going to be with us through this trip. So I'm really excited to have this opportunity. So thank you guys for supporting us, and thanks for coming. So, yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, so my name is Sarah Zupanik. This is my second missions trip. I went to the Bahamas last summer, and today I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what God taught me on this trip. So whenever I first got to the Bahamas, Gary told us that we need to pass out tracts, and I've never like gone up to somebody random and like just started a conversation. That is not like me at all, and God taught me that I needed to get in my comfort zone a little bit. So the first night in the Bahamas was a little bit rough for me because by the end of the day, I only ended up passing out one tract, and everybody else was like passing out a lot more, and they seemed to be a lot more natural at spreading the gospel. And so I just did not feel cut out or worthy to go on this trip and to be here. And I laid in bed and I cried. I was like, God, like, why am I here? And I just prayed for courage and to be able to go and really just go there for God and to be able to spread the word. And throughout that week, God helped me to realize that it's his words that are flowing through me and not what I say. And one verse that God reminded me of was in Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And that verse really kind of helped me to just get through the times where I wasn't courageous, and it helped me to really realize that leaning on God was the only way that I can really do anything. And so going on this missions trip has really grown me more than I could have ever anticipated. And I cannot wait to go back to the Bahamas and preach the word of God and with the knowledge that I have now and just going there and being able to spread his word. So thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Reagan Alexander. I am a physical education student at Brockport. I'm a junior there, and I'm also part of the men's lacrosse team. And this summer, it will be my first missions trip going to the Bahamas, so I'm super excited. And Gary asked me to come up here and share my testimony. So I grew up in a Christian family. My parents, all my grandparents, everyone I was around was followed Christ. They all had their own personal relationships with him. And as early as I can remember, my entire family would go to church. And as my two brothers and I got older, we played at least three sports throughout the year, every single year, so we were really busy. And as we got into like middle school, early high school, we started to attend church less and less just because we were so busy. But then fast forward to COVID, just like everyone, I had a lot more free time, especially being a high school student. It was my sophomore year. So I started going to church again. But this time, I felt called to go. I felt drawn to go to church. And it wasn't just to please my parents, please my grandparents, whoever was going with me, but it was to see how God was going to affect my life personally. Growing up in a Christian household, I always knew who Jesus was. I knew that he died for our sins. But this time around, I really discovered how he was going to be personal to me. So after attending church regularly again during that time, I gave my life to Christ at the end of one of the services. And I was still a high school student. I had my own struggles, but I was no longer living through my parents' faith. I had my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Going into college is where my faith really began to grow. I actually went to GCC for my first 2 years. I'm from the Thousand Islands area, so it's pretty far. But while I was at GCC, I chose to live with my grandparents who live out in Corfu. So I commuted to GCC, lived with them. Again, super strong Christians. So living with them, I was just blessed to be living with role models that guided me in my walk with Christ. And while living with them, I also wasn't at the college a ton. I wasn't in the dorms being tempted by the things that go on there. So it was an amazing blessing to be able to grow with them. And as I was finishing up at GCC, I had to look at a new school to go to finish up my degree. I looked at a ton of different schools along the East Coast, a lot of Christian universities, and Brockport, which at the time was my last option. I didn't want to go there. But after praying about it and just the way that credits transferred and things like that, God called me to go there. So what was originally my last option became my first and really my only option to go to school. So heading there, I was still a little bit worried about going to such a secular college, but I continued to pray, and I specifically prayed to God, asking him for Christian friends, a group of Christians my age, whether they're students, student athletes, or just people in the area. So that brings me to this spring semester, where I was leaving the athletic building from lacrosse practice, and as I was walking out the door, this big tall guy came up and started talking to me. It was Gary. He was wearing his Athletes in Rochester shirt, and he was actually doing a luncheon for the women's basketball team there. And before meeting him, I knew a little bit about his ministry, not a ton, but after getting to talk with him a little bit more, I knew that God was in the work of answering my prayers. So about a week or two later, one of my teammates, the one who got baptized a couple weeks ago, he invited a group of us to go to church and then to lunch bunch with the Sowers. So I accepted the offer, attended, and I've been going ever since. So that brought me to where I am today. I'm super blessed. God is so faithful, answering my prayers. And even better, I have this opportunity to serve God on a missions trip. So throughout my life, I just have been had a huge influence from family members and just strong people of the faith. So all this story brings me to one verse, and that is Proverbs 22:6, which states, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Through my family's faithfulness and those around me, as well as the power of prayer, God has been such a real powerful influence in my life, and I'm super excited to see what he'll do next. Thank you for having us here today.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie. This will be my second time going on the missions trip. I went last year with with Gary and Jan. And something I've been working on is stepping outside of my comfort zone to share the gospel with others. I used to just stay in the background with ministry, and I'm part of a youth group. I'm a leader now. So something that happened on the trip was I got many opportunities to share my faith and to talk to others. One of them was the gospel tracts that Sarah was talking about. I had never gone up to people and created conversations with them or handed them anything about the gospel. So that was really cool to be able to do that. Also, praying for people was something I was working on. I never really had prayed out loud for people before, and I got the chance in the Bahamas. We met with the Bahamas Youth Network, and there was a girl who was really struggling, and God led me to pray for her. And she said that was the first time that anybody had ever prayed for her out loud before, and that she was really blessed that that had happened. So that was amazing to be able to do. And God definitely opened those doors for me to do, and I've learned so much on that trip, and I'm looking forward to this trip this year to be able to do even more of that. And Athletes in Rochester has helped me grow in my faith and had the Christian community at Brockport, even with the public college. I'm looking forward to go to have more intentional conversations about God and to not be afraid to pray for people out loud and share the gospel with them there. So, thank you. Amen.
We, for we've been coming here for a while, so you know about our transition from Athletes in Action to Athletes in Rochester. And this really is the main reason why we did that. Instead of going and doing a summer project somewhere else, which were all good, we had great experiences doing that, we wanted to take the students that we had met through the college and give them this experience. And so this is really a dream, a prayer that has come to fruition that we could take our folks there. Now, if you'd like to see their testimonies, the rest of the team, the rest of you guys stand up. Let me just introduce you to everybody. So this is Jerry. Daniel always tells me I got to introduce him, his younger brother. So everybody knows that he's younger. This is Gabby. Gabby and her husband are going, but her husband is doing music at our church this morning. Gabby will be leading our soccer camp. On the end is Mara. She went to the DR with myself 2 years ago and another athlete. She went to Bahamas, 3 years ago, went to Bahamas last year, and she'll be coming back. This is Michaela, her first missions trip with a big group, I believe, right? You went to Haiti 1 year, right? And they didn't have room in the orphanage, so they sent her back. And so we have her. And, of course, you know Jan, my wife. There are several other students that, with graduation, they left already and are back home that will be joining us. So we just ask that you pray for us. But if you go to our website, you can get all of their testimonies there. We should have our video of the team up by the end of this week. And then also, if you are going to give through a tithe envelope, if one of their testimonies or the Lord led you to maybe support one of them personally in any amount, just make sure you put their name on the envelope, and I'm sure your church will let us know who you're designating it to. And if that opportunity passes, you can go to our website and do that, and then just send us an email and say, hey, I want to help so-and-so go on this trip. So any questions we can, thank you guys. Any questions we can answer for you quick before we start the rest of our service? Obviously, we'll be here afterwards. I know that a lot of people will talk to us more this week because I know how exciting business meetings are. But you can always ask them some questions when you get out to the table afterwards. So thank you.
All right, I told y'all it was going to be encouraging this morning. Thank you, everybody that shared, and the whole team will be praying for you. Gary, what's the date you leave?
July 11th.
July 11th. Okay, everybody put that in your calendars. Pray beforehand, but on that day as well. Flying out of Rochester?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Well, we just have a couple songs we'd like to sing together today. First, Come Jesus Come, and then we're going to sing a second very simple song. It's been around for a while. But Megan reached out to the team and asked, do you think we could try this one tomorrow? And we said, yeah, let's go for it. So, but let's stand and sing Come Jesus Come first together. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day to return to
to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. And deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. And there'll be no war. And there'll be no chains. And when Jesus comes, let today be the day. We'll come for the weak and the strong just the same. And all will believe in the power of His name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. World isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. And one day He'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers raised. And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day to return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. And deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come.
Come, Jesus, come again.
And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. And deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Come, Jesus, come. You take what is. Make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. No guilt competes with innocence.
to life with words that pierce the dark with light. Only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to the tree. You alone hold the power to redeem. Rejoice, O child of God. Lift your eyes to see. With every morning light, again we are redeemed. Rejoice, O child of God. Lift your eyes to see. Life with words that pierce the dark with light. Only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to the tree. You alone hold the power to redeem. You alone hold the power to redeem.
Thank you, Lord, this morning. We know that that's true. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know that to be true, God, that you would move right now, continue to move in this place. Your Holy Spirit would press upon their hearts to know your real and awesome love this morning that can change their life. And if those of us who are here that do know you in that real personal way, we thank you. We praise you. God, thank you for, again, the testimonies we've heard this morning, the opportunities for Gary and Jan and these young people to band together, travel to the Bahamas, work with other believers, and just a united effort in your name to go make a real impact on people in physical ways, emotional ways, and ultimately spiritual ways, Lord, the work that you've called them to do. Help us again to support in all the ways we can. Lord, now as Gary comes with a message from your word, again, just allow our hearts to be open. Let us be awake and aware right now what you're doing in this moment, in these minutes. And then as we leave this place, what are the opportunities for us? What are the missions work that you have right here in front of us? But thank you again for the blessings of this morning so far and what you'll do now in this time through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we do have a handout this morning. Did anybody not get one? Just make it a little easier to follow along or to take notes. Everybody all set there? We have a very distinguished usher handing them out. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand there. I'm sorry we weren't able to fit pictures on this morning. Make it a little bit easier for some. There was a request for that from before. All right, so let me ask you a question here. What do all these things have in common? Jesus' triumphal entry, the feeding of the 5,000, the Last Supper, feeding of the 4,000, the tomb, Jesus' message from a boat, and turning the water into wine. What do they all have in common? Okay, Jesus was there. That'll always get you half credit in Sunday school. God, Jesus, Bible will get you some kind of credit for every answer. But more specifically, what do they have in common? What's that? Okay, they're miracles, definitely big miracles. New Testament, okay, we're narrowing it down. Next will be one of the books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, Anything else you can think about? What makes what is the connecting thread between all of these? Okay, Jesus. Teaching moment, okay. How about this? These miracles were made possible due to someone's investment of their time, talent, or treasure. Think about every one of those miracles. Jesus' triumphal entry, where did he get the donkey? Did he own it? Somebody provided it. How about the feeding of the 5,000? Got a little boy's lunch. How about the Last Supper? Who provided the room and the food for that? You think about the feeding of the 4,000. Same thing again. Somebody had to provide the materials that Jesus blessed and then multiplied. You have the tomb. That was borrowed. It wasn't his own. Someone provided that. Jesus' message from a boat. Peter had to give up his boat to let Jesus use it. Turning the water into wine. Now that's a biggie, isn't it? So why couldn't Jesus just put the water in the pots himself? But what did he do? He asked the servants to fill the pots, which Jesus could have, hey, if he can do from water to wine, he can do from nothing to water, right? He did it in creation, right? Nothing there, and he gave us water. So he relied on other people to set the stage and make it possible for these miracles to happen. And you think about Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall what? God give into your bosom, right? What's it say? Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure ye meet, withal shall it be measured to you again. But the beginning is, Jesus is speaking to people and saying to give, and that God would give them. Now, have you ever thought about this whole idea of giving? Right? Right? Just think about it. What is this whole thing of giving to church, giving to missionaries, giving to others, providing needs when people have catastrophe? Why is it set up that way? Think about God, right? Every beast of the forest is mine, right? And the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've heard someone say that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he sometimes just gives it to us one hamburger at a time. And then it says, verse 11, the wild beasts of the field are mine. The world is mine. The fullness thereof. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And yet, God uses people to distribute his wealth for the kingdom. Right? Couldn't this morning, let's say you're praying about a need in your house, your family, your life, you could just wake up and the money's in your bank account, right? Could God do that? I mean, walk on water, turn water into wine, heal the blind man, heal the paralytic. I mean, God can do all of that. And yet, what does he do? He gives it to people to use for the kingdom for other people. God uses people to distribute his wealth. Do you ever think about this? Christianity is centered on giving. Salvation, Ephesians 2:8 says, it is the gift of God. Notice, it's a giving action. Salvation comes from a gift from God. You think about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is actually called a gift. So when the believer gets saved, they're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is a gift from God to give us the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost in our lives. You think about our talents, our gifts, our calling. When Paul writes to Timothy, the young pastor, he says, neglect not the what? The gift that is in thee. Talking about his talents or abilities or whatever God gave him for the ministry. And even marriage or singleness is often talked about as a gift from God, 1 Corinthians 7. So what is it God is trying to get at? Giving is a matter of the heart. So many times we think it's a matter of our checkbook or our wallet, but giving is a matter of the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Notice how God starts out the discussion in 2 Corinthians 9 about giving. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his wallet, in his bank account, in his checkbook. What does he say? Every man as he purposeth in his heart. In his heart. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Matter of the heart. I speak not by commandment, but by the by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. What is that? That's a matter of the heart. So he says, I'm talking to you guys, the Corinthians here, and we're bringing up the issue of money and giving as a matter of the heart. So I want you to think about this. This is a verse that we often use when we talk about where the world is heading and how difficult things are becoming, the sinfulness of man. We use this verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And don't we find that out about ourselves? The depths of our thoughts or depravity that we have to deal with in ourselves. So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, I search the what? I search the heart. What he's trying to do is expose what's in there so we know how to deal with it. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And you say, well, there's a happy verse to use when you talk about giving. Do you know what the context of that verse is, those two verses? Let's take a look. So he says here, the heart is deceitful. So the context is he's talking about our heart, but notice where it starts in Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in the Lord. See, that's a matter of the heart. Trust comes from the heart. And whose hope the Lord is. Now watch verse 8. And he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be what? Careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Notice that this plant, this tree, that has been planted by the waters in verse 8, does not stop yielding fruit when it goes through a period of drought. I mean, you know, if you forget, we have a mortuary in our house, and it's called plants. And we have a terrible, terrible time keeping any of our plants alive. So we just recycle them in compost. They get dry, and what happens to them? They die. And then Jan says, take it out to the compost pile. Maybe it'll help some other plant grow next year. But it dies. Plants, when it goes through great periods of drought, we're hopeful that they just last through the drought, let alone bear fruit. So imagine Jeremiah writing here, and he says, you're blessed if you trust in the Lord. That's a heart issue. Verse 8, if you're planted by the waters, when drought comes, you won't be careful. Your responses to God's leading will still be the same. And even in a time of drought, you will bear fruit. What do we do sometimes? Sometimes we back off the gas, cut back and things like that. Now, this is the giving that we advocate. You ask God. You just ask God. If I can trust him with my salvation, I can trust him with my eternal salvation, if I can trust him to take care of all these other things, I trust that if I ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want us to give to this project or this person or to church or whatever, I believe he'll tell us. I'm not asking you to feel guilted because we're talking about giving before we take an offering. What I'm asking you to do is pray, ask God what to give, and then don't check your wallet, don't check your checkbook. See, that's the tree that's planted by the water. that even in a time of drought will bring forth fruit. Is that crazy? What do you mean we're going to bring? See, that's just God's economy. He says, Gare, give this. Can I check my bank app? No. He just says, give. He says, give. If you're planted by the right place, if you're planted in the waters of God, you give. Some of these guys, they're broke college kids. Then they got to come up with $1,800. Then they got to pay baggage fees. Then they got to buy a second bag so we can get all them soccer balls down there. And they got to get a passport. And then they got to make sure they got UV shirts. And they got to have SPF 3000 because it is hot down there. And they got to spend all that money. And they look in their bank account and go, huh, I don't have it. I can tell you a testimony about one young lady here within, I think, 2 weeks from sending out letters and asking people to help with this trip. Her trip was paid for because she didn't look in her bank account and say, that's not the will of God for me to go. She said, God, do you want me to go? And I'll go. So that's all we're asking with giving to anyone. You just say, God, what do you want me to participate? And then what do you want me to give? And realize even in a time of drought, God can produce fruit through us, even though the natural resources are not there. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Man, it'd be, you know, I just, well, Lord, did you, you know, our insurance is coming up. And that blessed thing in February called property taxes, that's coming up. And this is coming up. And God says, it's a matter of the heart here. What are you going to do here? So we want to be careful. What happens if my heart's not in it? That's a common question. Again, we trust that if you pray, God will direct. God will direct. The Bible tells us, Luke says, Jesus himself speaking, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't we usually do that the other way around? Right? If my heart's not in it, then I'm not going to give. How many of you watch what's going on in the stock market? Okay. I bet you if you do, you have money invested in it. So your heart followed your investment, right? God's work is the same way. We invest and we say, God, I know my heart is evil. I know it's desperately wicked, but I'm going to obey you and I'm going to give. And then you watch as you invest, and it's not always just money, just invest your time around here. Invest your time in other people. Invest your time in lost people and watch your heart say, I really care about them now, where before I just did it because we're, you understand what I'm saying? So notice Jesus says, where your what is? Your treasure. There will your heart follow. And then back to our passage in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall what? Reap also sparingly. And I think sometimes we can get discouraged in the Christian life because we don't see maybe the hand of God or the miracles of God. I believe God's economy is that we trust him, obey him, and give, and then he takes care of it. So he says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, and we don't want that. So what happens if my heart's not into giving? We, for sake of time, we won't turn there. Philippians 4:13. I bet you a bunch of you can quote it. Go ahead. And those that can't quote it are able to read. So that was very good. All right, so that's a great verse, isn't it? I just saw a guy yesterday was helping one of the guys that's on our team, helping him pack up and leave and go back home, and his roommate was helping him, and his roommate is jacked like the fitness magazine show, and on his chest he had tattooed Philippians 4:13, you know? So didn't know if I needed to see that, but I got a peek. But that is a common verse. I see football players, they'll put it in the black on their face, you know, Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right? Isn't that a great verse? And then verse 19, look at verse 19. But my God, Paul writing to the Philippians, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those are, I call them two great bookmarks. I can do all things through Christ. And then Paul says that he'll give the supply through his abundant riches. Does anybody know what's verse 14 through 18? Paul writing to the Philippians about supporting him as a missionary. Isn't that wild? So those great verses, not that they don't apply in other things in life. You understand? They do apply in other things in life. But it's interesting that the context is Paul is writing to the Philippians about supporting him as a missionary. And then he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's pretty wild. All right, so final thoughts. It is to the Lord. When we give to the Lord. Think about the widow that cast in her two mites. Who was she giving money to at that time that Jesus noticed? Who was getting that money that she threw into the treasury at the temple? What group of people? Jews? But it's specific. Who is the leaders, the religious leaders? Pharisees, the same people that crucified Christ. So did Jesus condemn her? He said, no. Everywhere the gospel is preached, this woman shall be talked about because she gave. Jesus didn't condemn her for giving and what the Pharisees might do with that money. So remember, our giving is to the Lord. It is to advance the kingdom. It is to bless others. And as we saw in Jeremiah, it's to change my heart. So that's why we give. So what do all these have in common? This whole idea of giving, if God's got the cattle on 1,000 hills and everything else, he wants us to be involved because he wants to bless us. So what is this giving about? It's about the vibrancy of a local church. And it's a missions team that wants to serve God in a foreign country. That's what they have in common. Thank you again for the opportunity for these guys to give their testimony, hear about our trip. And we appreciate the faithful support of First Baptist in allowing us to do what we do. Andy?